This is Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Saviour. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sin. See how my enemies have increased, and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles.
Question one, what's happening, or what's this psalm all about? So there is a thought, I have to say there's a thought, that around 75 psalms are directly attributed, did I say that right? To David, including this one. Okay, I love them because they're an absolute peep through history at a really important person in the Bible. They're thinking what was going on, what was happening in the world. Absolutely phenomenal. And just like this one, many psalms given by David are about his struggles in life. I mean, David had a lot of struggles, you know. I mean, he wasn't the most popular person in the world. He had a lot of people chasing after him. And I'm not just meaning the comedy sense. I mean, actually, for his life. I mean, he was in a lot of trouble. And if that wasn't enough, Saul, who quite literally had murderous intentions. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever experienced that. I've been trolled on social media, which wasn't a pleasant experience, but nobody's ever openly said they want to kill me, and that's really harsh, but this is what David was dealing with, it has to be said, and obviously the loss of his son as well. And let's be honest, David is not, it doesn't seem to, when I read the Psalms, I know there are some positive Psalms, by the way, just for the record, from David, but he never seems to be having a great time. There is a reassurance, though, that he knows that he can only continue his journey, particularly in this psalm, in life with the help of the Lord. He absolutely declares that. And whilst many of us this morning might not experience the same troubles that David did, I think the Psalms are a real social connection for us in our lives. I think there is just something about it. I don't know if there's been a survey done across the church. I really don't. The Universal Church. But I suspect Psalms, favourite verses, Psalms will be in there. Because I just think they're so easy to relate to. Because they're honest. They're about real life for David. And I think we can relate to that. So David is coming to God for forgiveness. I mean, let's be honest, how many of us I do all the time? Lord, will you forgive me? I messed up there. So in this psalm, it's not a fresh sin that David is confessing. It is the sins of his youth it mentions in that. Now, historically, it's really hard to say when that was written, but there's a big hint there. We suspect he's a lot older if he's talking about his youth, you know? Maybe that feeling we can all have of the burden of life where we have done wrong. Doesn't need to be big dramatic things. You know, I'm married. I mess up all the time in my marriage. You know, I have friends, believe it or not. And I mess up with my friends. I say the wrong thing. I have jobs. I mess up with my job. Both for the church and for EE. It's life. This is what happens. This is the reality. I mess up with my son. So this psalm gives us a pattern of what to do when we feel this burden. If you imagine this burden. And I'm one of those people, when people go to me and say, how are you, Andy? I have two, depending on who asks me, because some people can see right through me, but occasionally people ask me that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And I know deep down, actually, I could just burst into tears sometimes. Don't know if anyone's ever experienced that. Since following Jesus, I cry more than I've ever cried in my life. I mean, I even cry at BBC TV programs, and that's saying something, isn't it? I felt a slight emotion, if anyone saw Doctor Who last night, a little bit of an emotion there with that little cute toy. Sorry, I spoilt it there. So firstly, we learn that David has a contrite heart, a repentant heart, and he is coming to God in humbleness, and he knows he needs God. I mean, I think there's a time when we can get angry at God, and I just want to reassure you that God's shoulders are broad enough for you to get angry at him. Probably not broad enough to get angry at me, but God's shoulders are broad enough. But there is also a time to approach Jesus with humility, humbleness, meekness. David, he declares who God is in this psalm. It is strange when the people of the Bible tell God who God truly is. I don't know about you, I read this and I think, does God really need to be told that? He's God. Does God need to be told that he's kind and he's loving? Or are we doing something else? I think it's a sign of worship. I think we're actually worshiping. We're saying, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your kindness. But also, I think it's a reminder. I think as David is going through that Psalm 25, I think it's a reminder of who God really is. And I don't know about you, but I need that. I need to hear who God really is. He is showing he knows God's goodness. He knows that God is forgiving, a God who will restore him and will bless him. He is pointing out the best things about having such a close relationship with Jesus. I use the word Jesus because Jesus is right through the Old Testament. Go and speak to someone called John, and I don't mean the book, I mean the small wood, and he will point that out. So that's what's going on. That's my interpretation. By the way, you might have different interpretations And that's okay, that's fine. So question two, is there anything that stands out to you and why? Well, I had two questions in there. The second question was, is there anything that stands out to you that you might have read the psalm before but never noticed? Well, I'm incorporating all that together just to save you time, because I'm sure you've got other things to be getting on with. But what I am going to share with you is this. And it's verse 14. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. This describes the relationship that David was experiencing with God and that we can have with God. That version that I read out is the NRSV, the standard version. It uses the terms friendship and fear. And whenever I read it, and I've read it before, whenever I read it, I'm left with this question. How do you have a friendship with anyone you fear? Don't know if anyone else asks those questions. If anyone's experienced bullying, they might relate to this. Oi, Andy, give me your dinner money. And I'm going to be honest, we do have a relationship. It's called a bullying relationship. And it isn't based on friendship. It's based on something else. Yet, in the psalm, it is possible to have a friendship with Jesus and to fear him. Maybe it's that word fear that causes this. We talk about the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's in Proverbs 9, verse 10. If I'm afraid of someone, I probably don't trust them. I'm afraid that they may do something that would be bad for me. However, the fear of the Lord is very different. If I said the word reverence, worship, respect, know who he is, there are some ways of describing this fear. So why is that fear in the psalm very different? Well, firstly, God doesn't ask for your dinner money. He's more likely to provide dinner money. David is aware of the awesome power of the Lord. He is aware of the judgment of the Lord. And in that, there could be fear. But he is also aware of God's mercy. And the most important thing here is trust. Right through Psalm 25. That is how David can have a relationship that is intimate, close with God, with Jesus, while still maintaining a reverent or worshipping heart for Jesus. This friendship can happen, firstly, because God wants a relationship with us, and secondly, because in this case, David, but we can also be part of this, David comes to God in confession. Yes, we can take the shorthand version and go, well, God knows what's on my heart. There is something in private verbalizing what you're confessing to Jesus, to do it, and you can do it in private. You don't have to do it with anyone. You don't need a priest. You can confess directly with Jesus. So he comes to God in confession, expressing who he is, sinful, while acknowledging God is good. He is great. So moving on a little bit to the term friendship. Other versions use the word secret. Can you believe that? If you read other versions, and I think somebody in this congregation have read three versions of this, so they may have come across this. So this secret refers to the intimate knowledge and insights that God imparts to those who approach him with reverence and humility. Did you hear those words again? It represents the hidden treasures of spiritual understanding, of understanding who God is. This isn't an understanding that the world might know, that we might see on Christmas Day with our little nativity scene and baby Jesus in the middle of it. This is a far more spiritual aspect of who Jesus is. And this is the key. This friendship with Jesus is accessible to all who earnestly, I use that word earnestly, there's some old words coming back, to seek a relationship with God, to be curious. If you were talking about earnestly, maybe the word curious might help. And it's through this secret knowledge believers come to understand God's covenant that's mentioned in the psalm. It's a sacred promise of love that you've never experienced before. It's a sacred promise of protection. Now, that doesn't mean that life doesn't go wrong, that we don't experience upset, that we don't experience things going wrong in our lives. It really doesn't mean that. There is an element of protection. There is protection. And ultimately, God guides us. I'm what you call the hindsight man. So what I mean by that, when I go through some difficult times, I wish I could, I genuinely wish I could feel Jesus with me. But I don't always, I'm being honest. I really don't. But when I look back, I can see him. I can see him guiding me. It's just that sometimes what I want and what Jesus sees best for me are so far apart. And I don't mean that as a cliche, by the way. I mean that as a genuine thing. It's a reminder that our Creator desires to share his wisdom with those who seek him wholeheartedly. There's an element of following Jesus where you've got to kind of let stuff go. I'm a bit of a 90s music fan. I have to secretly play them in the car because Tonya won't let me at home. But there's a lot of, I was into kind of, I don't know if anyone's heard of the song Rhythm is a Dancing. Yeah, those kind of, yeah, absolutely, like that. And a lot of the songs that talk about release. And I feel really sad that people don't experience the release that Jesus gives. The stuff in the music is superficial. This is far deeper. And it really saddens me when I listen to them. I love the songs, but it really saddens me to think that deep about them. Those who come to him in spirit and in truth will find him and have a secret, a private conversation. If you look at some of the commentaries, what other people have said, what theologians have said, is a private, get this, private consultation. I don't know if you've ever been to a doctor. There's some things I'm not going to share with you that I've been to a doctor for. But I wouldn't even share with Tonya. They're something else. They're private. You could do that with Jesus. They will discover new things about God as he listens and speaks to them in secret places. We listen. What an amazing image that is. This place that we can go to and we can share our most intimate thoughts, our insecurities, the things we won't even share with our closest of buddies, of friends, as well as our other halves. A place where we can share deep secrets. And this is what David's doing in this psalm. It's a real example of David sharing to Jesus, to God, these intimate insecurities. And I really want to challenge people, not necessarily in here, but you never have to share some of those private things to anyone to get prayer. I want you to know that. What I also want you to know is you can speak to Jesus in private. about some of those things that you just don't want to share. There are things I don't want to share with people because I'm frightened. I'm frightened what people's response might be. Question is it just me and just Jesus? The answer, yes. In this relationship, you are not just one of the gang. You really are special. So the next one, the final one, we're getting there. What do these verses say about Jesus' character? Well, although we are reading the Old Testament and God the Father is the person of the Trinity who firstly comes to mind, we know that Jesus says, "Look at me and you will see the Father." We know that, absolutely. We know Jesus is in the Old Testament. We know to go and see John Smallwood or anybody else, any leaders, anyone in the church who absolutely loves Jesus, who reads the Bible, go and see them. I'd love to hear more conversations in the well about the Bible, about Jesus, asking questions. It would be phenomenal. So who are we seeing in this psalm? It might be pretty obvious, but David actually is approaching God. So firstly, Jesus, we can say, is approachable. Even when we come to him in shame and confession. And I have to say that I don't go to my closest friends when I feel shame. Always. I'll caveat that. David states that God is forgiving, which shows grace and love. A God who responds with deep, intimate friendship with people he forgives. How many of us never share our deepest secrets with anyone? Not our closest friends, not our parents, our siblings, because we would be ashamed or afraid of misunderstanding. That R word, does anyone know what that R word is? Rejected. Nobody likes to be rejected. Jesus knew that. He won't patronize us. He won't fob us off with some Bible verse that we've been using for many, many years. He won't give us that soppy sympathy. But here's the challenge. Neither will he leave us where we are. He will lead us out of our challenges. Show us how to change. Give us new possibilities. He loves us. He really does. He forgives us. He leads us somewhere new. This is the secret of fear and friendship. God is awesome, but he is trustable, if that's a word, approachable, loving, forgiving. He restores. He makes us, he puts us right. He renews us. And it's not a one-off renewal, by the way. It's continuous renewal. And in that friendship with Jesus is hope. And that's real hope.